Welcome back to Conversations with Catalysts. I'm your host, Jeremy West, and today I have with me Claire Aiken-Smith. Welcome, Claire.
Hi, Jeremy. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Before we get started, before we really jump into the conversation, can I just have you share with me and my listeners a little bit about who is Claire Aiken-Smith and how did you end up in the world of coaching?
Thank you very much. Well, who am I? That's a rather large question. I'll keep it short. I am an enthusiastic mover. By that, I mean that I'm a mountain trail runner. I love all things movement. My background is in endurance sport. And that, for me personally, has really fueled my life. Professionally, I have been a physiotherapist through to a consultant in conservative management. Spent 20 years in the health service in the UK. And I think the two together really led me into coaching. My personal passion for pursuing excellence and personal development, both in the physical realms of capability, but also just being my best self. And then with clients or patients, just filling the need to support people being their best selves and doing it within the scope of a therapeutic practice initially, but more and more recognizing that ultimately people have the answer within themselves, and it's not so much necessarily about giving information or expertise, of which I've gained a lot over the few decades that I've been pursuing it for myself, but rather giving the space and enabling the individual to have those awareness moments and then bringing in the appropriate support and resources to support that. And so that's really been my journey towards where I am now, which is as a personal development coach. I really enjoy supporting people holistically. So that is in their, yes, physical health and capability and joy of doing life without pain and with a lot of energy. But it's right the way through to then utilizing that in their professional life, because ultimately we only thrive in every sense when we have purpose. And so that's now my mission, and my vision is to see people just living a fulfilled life for themselves, but by giving themselves permission to do so.
So to ask is, if you could bring more of any one thing into this world, what would it be?
Compassionate assertiveness, I think would be, and maybe those are two things, but I offer them as something together, because one without the other isn't successful. And I've spent a lot of time myself in the area of compassion and having a huge heart for people, but that by itself hasn't enabled me to make a big impact, to make a big difference. Hence, it requires assertiveness, and it requires courage, and it requires other things that come along with that to put the intentions into reality. And I think the other way around is also true, that there is a lot of assertiveness, but without a sufficient level of true compassion, it's missed best. And at worst, can in fact cause an awful lot of destruction and tragedy.
So what is, tell me a bit about compassionate assertiveness.
For myself, it's a whole lifestyle. It has implications in the way that we communicate with people, but it also is the foundation of how we go about looking after ourselves. And if we are compassionate with ourselves, then we are fully accepting of who we are in every sense. And we then look to support ourselves, utilizing our strengths and our capabilities, and supporting ourselves in our vulnerabilities and our learning opportunities. And then following through that then means that we can literally do the same for other people. We see them for who they are, not who we want them to be, or we assume that they might be relative to who we are, which is different. And we can also take assertiveness with that, compassionately supporting them in living their best life as well.
So can you give me a bit of an example, either in your own life or the life of a client, of how you or they have applied compassionate assertiveness? And yeah, so you can give us a little bit of a picture of what you mean by compassionate assertiveness and what it does for people.
Yeah, sure. A really easy, tangible example happened just this morning. I got home and my husband had got up, got himself sorted for the day, made his breakfast, and he works from home, so he got everything needed and then got into his office to get going on a Monday morning. And I then come into the kitchen and I see that the toast has been left on the top, and that there's a frying pan that's yet to be washed up. And I immediately am triggered by that. And the reason that I'm triggered by that is because I really enjoy coming into a space looking in the same way as I left it. And the challenge for myself of then having to do that clearing up to put that input in easily leads me to stress, resentment, and effectively a boundary put up in my mind, in myself, against my husband. And I haven't even seen him or said good morning to him yet. And so at that moment, I've got to take responsibility for that. I've got to be compassionate towards myself in saying, no, I know it's a thing, and that's okay. I know that my biological predisposition, my neurophysiology, really, in because of the way that it is designed, it really appreciates order, preciseness, specificity, cleanness, efficiency. And that in that moment, I didn't have that. In effect, somebody else took that away from me. But at the same time, I've also got to be compassionate towards my husband in recognizing, well, the start of his Monday, as much as he loves me, and we have been married for decades, what is really most important to him in that moment is getting to his morning meeting call. It's not spending the extra time messing about in the kitchen just because I may or may not walk in and see it as it was. So that's compassionate relative to myself and to the person involved. Then there's assertiveness, and the assertiveness for myself, well, it could go either way. I could have just thrown a wobbly in the moment, launched into my husband's office and gone, I can't believe you've done blah, blah, blah again. That would be me being assertive, but it is totally not compassionate, and is totally not aware of his needs, where he's coming from. And I am just reacting to what's gone on in my biology, effectively a stress response that I'm just manifesting. Whereas I can take responsibility for that and go, okay, what am I going to do with this emotional response? Well, first off, I've got to recognize, why am I having it? And it was because I didn't want to have to spend the extra time making things nice again for myself when I wanted to get on. Well, that's my issue. That's not my husband's. Secondly, if I don't want this to happen again, then it's my responsibility to do something about it and make some kind of plan with my husband that does suit him and works for him and works for me. And that's not going to be best done in some kind of reaction or shouting match about the fact that I didn't have my needs met at the time, when quite likely my husband wasn't even thinking that he was actively causing them not to be met, because he does so much for me in many other ways. So ultimately, my assertiveness is to reflect on that moment and say, okay, so how important is this? Does this happen just once in a blue moon, or is this really happening every day? And actually, it's causing a lot of an energy drain that I'm wasting my time and energy having to manage. Okay, if that's the case, right. I need to set aside a time and I need to have a chat with my husband expressing what's going on for me, how I'm feeling about it, demonstrating my openness, and then asking him, is he willing to work with me to create a plan that has a better outcome for us both in the same thing happening again tomorrow, if that's going to happen. So a very, very simple example. But what you can appreciate is that there's all sorts of stuff that can come out of that.
100%. So the question then is this something that has continually happened recently, or was it more of a one-off, once in a blue moon sort of thing?
So as it happens, the I recognize the reason I was triggered is because my husband has been away for 3 or 4 days prior. And so I have literally had everything as I like it, in the way that I like it, consistently. I've had it all my way. And so that's been great. And so the moment that that's not the case, I've recognized that. And so that's for me to go, okay, right. Well, sure, you can have things how you like all the time, Claire. It's called living by yourself. Is that something that you really want to do? And therein is, again, that importance of compassion and assertiveness. I live in a very, very positive and, yeah, wonderful relationship with my husband that I wouldn't want to be without. And so I'm motivated to take action in both a compassionate and assertive way, such that I continue to get the best of both.
Excellent. All right. Well, would you say if I could you lay out in a couple of sentences what your core philosophy behind your coaching would be, and then how that translates into tangible results for your clients?
Yeah, sure. So my core philosophy is when people understand themselves and they then give themselves permission to align themselves with their needs and to fully appreciate and work in the strengths that they do have, that it's then they will succeed. And when I say understand themselves, I don't mean necessarily at a philosophical point of view, or just an intellectual point of view, or a self-reported perceived point of view. I literally mean at a biological level of genetic predisposition alongside lived experience. And so, following through to the second part of your question of, well, what does my coaching look like? I will meet up with a client and I'll find out, well, what's going on for them? What is it that they want to change in their life right now? Which area of their life? I will then follow through doing a profile assessment of them, which involves some measures and lots of questions, to then provide them with a profile of, well, this is who you are right now, your biological predispositions, how well you're aligning with doing life in a way that is going to most easily and effectively create flow and success for you. And that then gives us a baseline, ourselves, something to work from. When we're then starting to address the issues that they're coming to me with, and we then follow that through with a combination of different coaching tools and processes, whether that's helping with limiting beliefs or supporting new behavior and habit change. But ultimately, benefiting from the ability to come back to, well, what's the objective recommendations that we're trying to address here? And then, benefiting from that, we're able to objectively measure the progress, and the success of that as we go through as well.
Okay, great. So you mentioned you really getting to know themselves beyond self-report and to the level of biological or genetic predispositions. How do you get to that level of genetic predispositions?
I use a tool which is driven by AI. It brings together all the different sciences that we have and the ability to then quantify an individual in terms of the data that I feed in from them. And that, because of where we've got to in technology, is incredibly easy and is non-interventional. So no longer do we need things like blood tests or other invasive samples. We can do it purely digitally. And that then means that it's really accessible for clients. And it also makes it very efficient in terms of being able to do it both online and face to face. The system then provides is the insights for myself to be able to make meaning of those for the client in their current circumstance. So rather than just providing more data to someone, we're all drowning in information, and you can go and find out all sorts of things about yourself. And then you go, well, that's nice, and you stick it on a shelf. The important thing is that we're able to take that information and then construct a plan and recommendations relative to what it is that that individual wants to change, succeed in, knowing that if we follow the recommendations provided, that we will get success. And that's because the results that I gain when I profile an individual are based from a worldwide population databases that don't just give a snapshot of information in the moment. They are also able to provide around, well, what will happen if an individual continues on their path that they're currently on in a certain area of lifestyle, or what's the potential if they then align with what their predispositions actually are.
Wow, that's fascinating. So it sounds like, if I'm understanding you correctly, that the data that you collect is still self-report, but then the AI is able to take that self-report data and by comparing it with others that have the same, that would have self-reported the same way, then it can get all the way down to the level of genetic predispositions and that sort of thing. Is that, am I understanding you correctly?
I think just to clarify, when I do say self-report, we are talking specific unchangeable things about ourselves that are individuals. So, for example, over the course of my lifetime, my thigh length is not going to change, and that is a length that has a unique ratio to, say, my eye color or my type of skin, which again, over the course of my lifetime, is not going to change. So, taking those data points into consideration alongside things like, well, where was I born and where were my ancestors' heritage? Those are all reflective of the genetic predispositions. But then there's also the epigenetic influences, and they may be things like, well, where did I grow up? What is it that I've been doing for the last 5 years or 2 years? Or how have I been eating in the last week that will have had an impact on the who I am right now? That information can be provided by an individual without requiring invasive tests. And so therefore it is self-reported, but it's guided by myself. And there's a practical element to that in terms of just doing some measures that an individual can do whilst I'm watching them.
Wow. So, if you don't mind sharing, what's the AI program that you're using for this?
So it's called Shae, Shae, and that, alongside quite a few self-quantification apps or systems, does provide an ability for yourself to have a better understanding of yourself relative to other people. I have found it incredibly helpful for myself personally. But what really makes the difference is then being guided through how to utilize that information to make a difference in your life. And of course, that's where the benefit of the coaching comes in, and also the benefit of the understanding that I have about the sciences that support the recommendations and the background relative to the physiological and neuroanatomy and physiology of what's then going to be presented to someone.
Good. And so how long have you been using this?
On and off, I think it's around 4 years.
Oh, wow. It's older than ChatGPT.
Yes. Yeah.
Public.
Using the AI before there was the
before it was
AI.
Yeah. That's great.
That's it.
So could you...
And systems have grown and developed alongside that.
Excuse me. Could you share with us a success story where your coaching has made a significant difference in a client's life? Tell us a little bit about where they began when they first came to you, and then what you did and how they are now.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick one.
Narrow it down.
I'll pick an easy one that I'm sure many people will relate to. So a lady called Lucy, she name I make up just to personalize to a specific person rather than client. So Lucy, she's 34, and she first came to see me because she had tried everything. She had slowly but surely gained about 10 kg. She was trying to get fitter and stronger. She was really struggling with having a sense of energy in her day to day. And she was just over it in terms of just putting in lots of effort, trying really hard, and having spent quite a lot of money as well. She'd done a few sort of different tests, as well as going on courses or trying particular either programs or diets that each gave a little bit of benefit, either for a short time or in one way, but nothing really got her to a better place. And she was really over it in terms of feeling really quite down and hopeless for the future, despite herself otherwise being in a really successful position. She'd been working in her own business company for, I think, when I first met her, 5 or 6 years, and had been really successful. She had been able to invest in her first house, and she also had a long-term boyfriend who she absolutely adored, and they had a really positive relationship, and she was also living in a place that she loved as well. So she really just could not work out, well, why was she not thriving more? So she came to see me with the superficial things there just being, hey, I want more energy, I want to lose weight, I want to feel great when I'm going out there and doing the physical activities that I want to do. I've got friends that love going up into the hills and on trails, and I just feel like I'm not good enough to be with them. So I profiled her, and the first thing that we recognized was that she was trying to do a lot of things that just didn't fit with how she needed to do them in order to get the results that she wanted to. And what I mean by that is that she was eating really frequently, very small amounts. She was trying to get up really early in the morning and get going and get stuff done early in the day. She was giving herself very little time to do things in terms of get deep into some kind of task. She was trying to get stuff sorted quickly, have the start of a tick off, and then she would start to do something else. She was also working with a couple of clients herself in her own business that she really didn't get on with. And we addressed each of those lifestyle aspects, and immediately she started to have more energy. Her mood lightened. She felt like life was a little bit more successful. And her boyfriend at the time was incredibly encouraging in saying, you're more the person that I met. And this is great. So in being encouraged by those initial results, she obviously was then that much more motivated to get more committed in doing more things, trying out doing stuff in a different way than was necessarily familiar or indeed normal in terms of conventional normal. She allowed herself to take time on a morning just to do her own thing. She's fortunate enough, she didn't have immediate responsibilities or dependents, kids, etc. And so she actually allowed herself to sleep in regularly. She allowed herself to take time for herself first thing on the morning just to enjoy greeting the day and doing things that were easy and felt really good to her. And what she noticed was that rather than feeling like she was behind and that she was missing out on getting successes and getting stuff done, as the morning went on, she gained clarity on what she needed to do. She set up a really specific and achievable plan, and she was motoring through the afternoon and into the evening in flow, loving what she was doing. And whether that was in her business, in her work, or it was then a later time slot where she was going to the gym or doing some kind of sport or exercise, she noticed that it was really energizing her and she was starting to see gains and wins in doing so rather than just feeling exhausted and not as good as those around her. She was sleeping better. She easily lost the weight without feeling like she was having to do a lot or missing out. She didn't actually change her foods that much. She just changed the ratio of when she had them and how frequently. She also got clearer on the types of clients that suited her to really succeed in her business, therefore it being a win-win, being more successful with the clients for them, but also being more successful for herself in growing and being effective in her business because of having a deeper and greater understanding as to her social needs and what puts her in a stress situation and what she really enjoys with and how to work with people. So roll on, and I've actually been intermittently coaching Lucy for a couple of years now, and it roll on, I think it was 9 months, and her partner proposed to her to get engaged. And so they then got engaged to be married. And at that point, in terms of making that further commitment to each other, Lucy was really keen that her partner saw me in order to get really clear on, well, how does he live his best life? And really importantly, how do they live their best life together? And so indeed, I profiled her partner and we had a joint session where we sat down and we were able to share just how different both Lucy and her partner are and how their strengths and their needs can be met together and how different that they are as well. And there were so many light bulb moments for the two of them, being able to appreciate why the one person does things the way they do, and then really excited to be able to support them in that rather than them just being different and not doing life in a way that they would want them to. And really setting up their life together in a fantastically sort of constructive way, having the foresight to recognize where the trigger points might be or the challenge points might be in terms of meeting their own needs whilst living life together. And I'm really pleased to say that they've just gone from success to success in their own relationship. Lucy has continued to develop in herself. She is now so much happier in herself, and in the act of doing so, she's actually closed down her business and is stepping further into what she now recognizes is her ultimate purpose in life. And as part of that, she's become a full-time student and a postgraduate master's in doing an MBA to support her in getting into what it is that she is so passionate about and knows that is what she's meant to be doing. So that's, sorry.
Which is what?
Oh, which is
What's
what
that new
so
purpose?
she Yeah, so her new purpose is to directly impact people's lives from a sustainable business point of view. So she wants to continue working with businesses as she had done it from a marketing and advertising capacity, but she now wants to work with businesses in supporting them to make sustainable changes in their business and with their people in order to then have a positive impact in the world in a greater way, and utilizing her capabilities of communication, advertising and marketing in the background of that.
Excellent. I hope that one thing she does with those businesses, with their people, is it helps them realize that not everyone is a morning person and that they need to have different schedules for different types of people.
Exactly. And I'm pleased to say that Lucy has recommended me to a fair few people as a result of the impact that I'm privileged enough and celebrate. She did the work, but to be able to say that she achieved.
That's
Thank you.
my, yeah, thank you. That's my favorite part of coaching. When I did my coaching certification, the trainer, I don't know how many of us, at least 100, maybe even 200 people there. So he split us up into groups of five, each with an experienced coach. And the one that, but first he had all of the coaches introduce themselves and say what they liked about coaching. And the coach that ended up being with my group, she said, "What I like about coaching is that the client does all the work." And I have absolutely found that. And yet I find that the less I do and the more work they do, the more they think that I've done something, the more they, yeah,
Yeah,
it's amazing.
definitely. Yeah, definitely. That's definitely, and particularly at the start, whilst the client is finding their way in this new level of self-awareness and the benefit of taking self-responsibility for sure. And like you, I think one of the biggest reasons I moved from being an expert in knowledge in certain areas, health, physiotherapy, etc., to coaching is that it's been so supportive of myself personally. I now have the energy and the overflow in my own life, whereas before the burden that I was taking on for myself, needing to be the everything for my clients as a therapist or an expert or a consultant, it really did take its toll. So I totally resonate with your comment there.
Yeah, and I love when the client says something wise and you've reflected back to them, and then they think that they're like, "Oh my God, that's you're so right." And I'm like, I just told you what you said.
Yeah, that's right. And then it's a win for both of you. The enjoyment that you both get from the gem, the insight. And I think that's what is now keeping me so passionate, and I cannot imagine doing anything else, is that I feel like it's such a gift to be able to come alongside someone and to support them doing their thing, because it gives me so much, and so there really is that virtuous circle and that connect in myself being able to serve somebody else that benefits them. They serve those around them, so you get that ripple effect. But part of that ripple effect is that it supports me in that best way possible as well, because it's still, if not more so, confronting and challenging to be your true self, which you have to be in order to support a client as a coach. And I think that's why I do it.
And it's absolutely, I have found 100% true that the way to learn something is by teaching it. So we're actually getting the best out of it. But yeah, what would you say is the real end result that your clients get from working with you?
Well, I think the end result that they get is an understanding of themselves that they get to take forwards to benefit the rest of their life, even if I only see them on two occasions. The insight that they have that will be correct for them no matter what age, stage, circumstance, situation they're in. It means that they've always got something to fall back on, a manual, if you like, that enables them to have certainty rather than it being trial and error.
So after they've seen you twice, a client walks away with a manual of me, manual of themselves?
Yeah, so part of the initial working with them is that I will provide them back a profile report that provides the starting point and recommendations for how they might be able to address the things that they've come to me with. But they can use those same recommendations because they are just the starting point to come back to, because they will be relevant for anything that comes up in their lives, or at least they can use it as a benchmark to go, well, how am I still aligning myself with those relative to whatever else has come up? And most often when there's issues, when there's challenges, when there's problems, it'll be because they're not being honored. And so there's always that ability to independently address a circumstance, at least with some foundational action that you know is going to support you going in the right direction.
Fantastic. Thank you, Claire. We'll just finish up with two questions here. And these questions are just to make sure we haven't missed anything. So if you don't have any answer to these questions, that's perfectly fine. And if you do, that's great as well. So first one is there anything in our long talk or so that you didn't get to say as much as you wanted to because we went off on a tangent?
Well, I could talk about what I'm passionate about all day. Yeah. But I think in terms of what we covered, we hit a lot of it. I guess other details that listeners might be interested in is that I work with people face to face in the South Island in New Zealand, but I also work with people online utilizing Zoom, and I've got clients in Australia, America, the UK at present. And I think the benefit of working with myself, as I alluded to, there is an initial program that's going to be of significant support, and I call that my lifestyle implementation program. And then, as I've alluded to with my example, there's the opportunity of ongoing coaching, which is personalized again to the individual in terms of intensity, frequency, length. And I support people personally for both their personal and their professional success. I think that would be in a nutshell.
Fantastic. And I'll get you to, in a moment, we'll plug where people can find you. But before that, is there anything, because I'm just getting to know you, Claire, is there anything that I didn't even know to bring up that would be a glaring omission when it comes to a survey of the life and work of Claire Aiken Smith?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Yeah.
So the point of the podcast is for anyone who wants to listen and glean anything that they can on self-development from hearing chats with all different kinds of coaches. But it's also for people who are ready for a coach, who hear the person that they need in their life, to contact them and get that started. So for those listeners who today are saying, I need Claire Aiken Smith in my life to help me move forward, how do they find you?
Thank you, Jeremy. If they Google applied movement, all one word, the domain is appliedmovement.co.nz. It's also applied movement on the socials as well. They can also find me under my name on LinkedIn, if that's somewhere where they are familiar in going. And
Claire, and then Aiken Smith, Akin hyphen Smith.
You got it, Jeremy. That is really fantastic, because there's more often times than not where people like to add in extra letters to the surname. So that's perfect.
And Claire has multiple ways to be spelled as well.
True. True.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Oh, is there anything else did I interrupt you there on where people can find you?
No, rather it was just a sort of key takeaway that I would love anybody who listens to this to appreciate is that we are all literally unique and different to each other. That's the point of being human and ourselves all living in an ecosystem to benefit each other. So give yourself compassion when you're not the same, doing the same thing as somebody else, but also take some assertiveness to work out, well, what's going to work for you better in order
Some
to be the
compassion.
person that you have potential.
And yeah, I want to echo that as well, because when you're talking about Lucy, it sounds like maybe she was reading some of the self-help books like Eat That Frog or different books will tell you, because maybe for a majority of people, or just for that author, either way, or that author and the people that they've worked with, the best thing to do is to get that most difficult thing done first in the morning. And that doesn't mean that that's the going to work the best for everybody. So, yeah, thank you so much for working with people as individuals and helping them discover themselves and how they actually tick, not how maybe the majority of people or some certain subset of people works, but that one individual.
Wonderful, Jeremy. Thank you. That was a really nice summary.
Thank you. So, if anyone wants to find me, I am at jeremywest.net. I've got a new daily podcast called It's Now Again that you can find there at jeremywest.net. And I am working on a program to help people who have lost their religion to use mindfulness to rebuild your new purpose and meaning in life. So be on the lookout for that. I'll be offering a few, what do you call it, foundational slots very soon. So just be on the lookout for that at jeremywest.net. Thank you very much, Claire, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jeremy. Been a great chat.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.